Years ago, I used to be visiting a house in the hills of Berkeley that looked like this church inside, because it was designed by the draftsman of this church, and it echoed in the hills of Berkeley. There I met with a lady who was then my age, 87. She was a daughter-in-law of Bernard Maybeck, Mrs. Giacomina Maybeck. And she said, "I won't be around much longer. I will tell you the stories, and you will tell them. Otherwise, they get lost." So I have a young man who is going to learn some of these stories from me, and in the future can tell them himself. What I learned in that house was about the founding pastor of this church, the Reverend Joseph Wooster, and asked, "Who was he and what was he?" She said, "He was a charismatic man who led a very eventful life." With that in mind, let me tell you the story. He was born in Boston in 1836 to an upscale Swedenborgian family, his father a Swedenborgian minister, of course. As time went on, he went to Harvard, the only place they could send him, they said, on the right level. He got his education there in the scientific school of Harvard. When he graduated, his present then was to go out in the world and make something of himself and to be of service. So he chose to go to Yosemite. They gave him an annuity, an income, not huge, but he could live on it and live reasonably well. They bought him a ticket to go on the Golden Gate steamer around Cape Horn. Wow. And he came to the Bay Area and then went to Yosemite to be a tutor to the Hutchin family's boys, that they would learn to grow up to be proper young gentlemen and be of service in the world. The ideals of those times. And so he was there, but his charismatic quality attracted people to him. Rather famous, I might tell you, the naturalist John Muir, the painter who did these, William Keith, a writer of stories that were enormously popular, Jack London, and others. He moved in those circles and attracted them with his charismatic personality. When he was finished there, those people said, "Go to San Francisco. You're needed there." So he came to San Francisco, established a little house in the city, and began having church meetings in Old Druids Hall down by Union Square, an old building that burned in 1906. There, he gathered a small flock around him, and for 10 years, they worshiped there and saved money. And in the 1890s, early 1890s, he purchased two lots on this corner from Mr. Gallagher, who was also charmed by him and brought the price down. Two lots. He built the church and everything that was in it, working with A. Page Brown architectural firm. A. Page Brown was a childhood friend from Boston. He also later designed the ferry building at the foot of Market. No small pickings here. The working architect was Albert Cicero Schweinfurth. Who was he? Very well known. He was a private architect to Phoebe Apperson Hearst, William Randolph Hearst's mother, who became the wife of a senator. And that went on. Then Bernard Maybeck was the draftsman, that great man. He attracted all of these people. Mary Curtis Richardson, who designed the communion table and gave it, and the reader's desk as a gift. Alexander John Forbes, who made the chairs. He attracted all these people in some remarkable way. And then the church opened March 17, 1895, with luminaries in the city here, written up in the papers. Something remarkable had appeared here because of Reverend Wooster. He was given all the credit, but was shy and retiring about it. Then some years went by, and in 1913, due to a long-standing illness, he said, unfortunately, he entered the spirit world. He was gone, but his charismatic influence remained. The day that they had his service here, with the coffin here, exactly as he wanted, made by a carpenter with a nail showing, is what he asked for. He chose a carpenter. And then when the service was finished with a sermon that he wrote, but I've never seen it. I don't know where it is. Not about him, about hope for the future. His kind of thinking. And when it was all over, then boys came in uniform from the orphanage south of Market called The Rock, where all those years he had been the chaplain. Every race and creed in the city was there. And these boys came in their uniforms and marched in and took the coffin out and placed it on the bench by the bird pool, sang a song, and said goodbye. He was, in a sense, their spiritual grandfather. And then it was over. That's my story for today, telling you that the charismatic Reverend Wooster led a very eventful life. But it was summed up, I think, extremely well by Bernard Maybeck, who said in his family and then told to me directly after this happened, a gentleman has left this world who in no wise can be replaced. He was the magnet that attracted us all. So my colleague and I thank you for listening. We'll see you again next time.